Good morning. Before I begin, a word of explanation. I have bad knees, so it's not out of disrespect or ignorance that I'm not standing at every opportunity. Thank you to all who worked to make this Beyond Categorical Thinking workshop yesterday and the service this morning possible. The Ministerial Search Committee, your interim minister, Reverend Alexa, the college student whose name I've forgotten who washed dishes to free up the MSC so that they could fully participate in the workshop. The office staff and the worship staff who worked via email to pull together the order of service and associated script for the service. An important word in the Kwanzaa celebration, which my church has celebrated for the last 10 years, is harambe. It is a Swahili word for let's pull together. This was certainly exhibited not only by the work of those I've mentioned, but by you, those of you who were workshop participants. You brought your whole selves to the work, and thus, I hope, made it valuable. Based on those of you whom I've met, you're a tough, funny, perceptive, and determined bunch, and there's no doubt in my mind that you will live and prosper. Now, we UUs are generally a polite bunch. Everyone I've met has been gracious and warm, and it has really been great to reconnect with some in the congregation, like Rosalie, that I've met before. But I'm sure that some of you are wondering, who is she? Why is she really here? Haven't we had enough cottage and congregational meetings, surveys, workshops, discussions, et cetera, about our ministerial search? Well, it might be best to tell you what I'm not here to do. I'm not from the Unitarian Universalist Association headquarters in Boston, here to tell you whom to select for your minister. Although Beyond Categorical Thinking facilitators are recruited, trained, and supervised by the UUA, we're volunteers. We're part of a diverse cadre of UUs, both lay and clergy, who are trained to do this work. We are not here to represent the interest of the UUA, the Central East Region, or even your Ministerial Search Committee. It is you, using the resources of your search committee, whom you have entrusted by your affirmation of their selection, to bring you the best fit for your ministry as a candidate. The gifts of your interim minister, who is guiding you through the often difficult work necessary to prepare for a new chapter in the life of this church, and other denominational resources available to you that will result in the call of your next minister. What I am here to do is to facilitate the deepening and widening of the process of determining the person or persons who will best fit your church's needs. The persons who may or may not come in the gender, color, sexual preference, ability package you initially envisioned. A byproduct of this process, and I think this is really important, is that the congregation continue to examine its promise and practice toward people in the pews next to them, or the people who might be here every Sunday. You may be thinking here to yourself, well, why shouldn't I be able to express my heart and head-felt preferences? Why can't I be honest about feeling uncomfortable with people who fall into certain racial, ethnic, gender, sexual preference, ability categories? Well, you can. But I hope you will acknowledge this discomfort, own it, and then explore another way, another path. Speaking of exploring another way, another path, my BlackBerry died last month, just before I was ready to co-facilitate another workshop. Now, some of you may not even know what a BlackBerry is. Others of you may want to laugh at the notion of anyone willingly still using one. You can laugh. My grandkids did whenever they saw it. I was content with my BlackBerry. That's what the government used before I retired about 12 years ago, and I was still comfortable with the brand. But when it died abruptly, I was forced to change. I now have an Android, an X8, I think. But I have been tempted to return it, give it to one of my grandkids, or throw it away and get something as close to my old BlackBerry as possible. It is hard for me to get used to, all that swiping and tapping instead of just pushing buttons. But I realize that I have to not only change, but embrace the change if I'm to grow and maintain any credibility with my grandkids. Moving from my old BlackBerry to the new Galaxy has become a parable for the journey that I, you, our churches, and the UUA must travel if we are indeed to reach the beloved community of which so many of us speak and long for. Where who a person is not defined by categories, but by more profound and also more mundane aspects of themselves. The UUA has made many attempts to address and eradicate the barriers that have made this pretty much a white denomination. I've worked on virtually all of these initiatives for most of my 30 years as a UU. I've been at the heights of hope and the depths of disgust. The high point for me was and still is the 2012 General Assembly in Phoenix, Arizona, where 3,000 UUs went to the desert, most of them my age, to protest the illegal and inhumane actions of former Sheriff Joe Arpaio. We went in school buses that were unair-conditioned. We were warned that once we got there, we could not come back until the whole group came back. The temperatures at night were 104 degrees, but we were there lighting our candles. And the most important recollection I have of this memory is that of the phalanx of UU clergy who stood between us and the protesters, and the faces of the people who were also there to support the immigrants in 10 cities. And I realized that until we showed up, they weren't really sure that we were really on their side. On the other hand, I was disgusted when the hiring practice at the UUA, the devalued persons of color, particularly women, were exposed a couple of years ago. I was enraged when the obscene severance packages totaling $500,000 for two top UUA leaders became known. What then keeps me here? Well, first, I'm stubborn. I like to overcome a challenge. I think I have that in common with people who were at the workshop yesterday. More seriously, I am a UU, and I have a seat at the welcome table and not below the salt. Younger people have to ask older people what that means. Finally, if we can live into, instead of just speaking our principles, we can be a beloved community that can credibly share our saving message with all. What keeps me here is the opportunity to know myself and to know the other and to break down the barriers that separate us. As you've heard in the introductions today and yesterday, I'm very much active. I call myself a church lady. But most of my work and passion in recent years has been focused on creating the beloved community within our congregations. I'm dedicated to working to ensure that we fully respect the inherent worth and dignity of all. And our congregations grow to look like most of the world outside our doors, from both sides of the pulpit. As the end of the year approaches, I review my list of to-dos and charities to support during the upcoming year. I also review my commitment to this movement, particularly the work related to our first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Over 700 congregations heeded the call to hold a white supremacy teach-in in 2017, and again earlier last year. This initiative was in response to the UUA's painful acknowledgement of the deep embedding of white supremacy culture that still operates in our structures and processes, including hiring and governance. The teach-ins, particularly this terminology used, have stirred things up for a lot of people. But I'm hoping that we are big enough to get beyond concerns about words, no matter how jarring and triggering they might be, and dig for the message undergirding these words. I hope your congregation will be able to participate in an updated version of this curriculum and to also become more informed about this vital topic through a January 26 conference at the UU Church Congregation of Fairfax. I'll be sharing more details of this conference with both the MSC and Reverend Alexa. I hope we can bring some of the spirit of the 3,000 UUs who went to the Arizona desert to unpacking and rooting out the issues in our congregation and in our denomination that keep us from moving more sure-footedly toward beloved community. In Phoenix, I saw UUs being humble. Now, we UUs are many things, but humble is not a word that comes to mind in describing us. In Phoenix, I saw signs in English and Spanish. I saw UUs working across faith lines, respecting those with different beliefs. I saw UUs decentering themselves and working with immigrant communities and organizations, not as leaders, but as partners. We came to listen and take in and to ask, how can we be of service and wait for the answer, not merely take notes, but to work in collaboration and partnership rather than in a kind of post-colonial, we'll help you by identifying your problem and providing and directing you to the solution kind of way. I hope that the discussions that will hopefully arise after the workshop yesterday and the service today will provide a common container for all in the congregation to have more deep talk around issues of race, gender, abilities, affection, that might affect who you might consider for your next settled ministry, and make members more open to examining these issues as they relate to your day-to-day congregational life. For me, whatever is stirred by these teach-ins, workshops, and discussions must be accompanied by a big dose of cultural humility. Being culturally humble is hard lifetime work. It's so easy to default to the stereotypes, misconceptions, and false assumptions about other people. It's hard going to learn a new language or new way of being and to constantly assess one's own behavior to excise cultural superiority. We must break down the barriers that divide us and construct alliances of equals that enrich us all. So as the new year approaches, I have reaffirmed my decision of more than 30 years to remain at my seat at the welcome table, at my own church and in the larger UU community, and to do what I can as an individual and in community with others to open my arms to the stranger. In the words of the Reverend Peter Morales, former president of our denomination, someone, a long-lost relative of the human family, is coming into our lives. At church, it happens every single Sunday. May you and I be there with anticipation in our hearts, warm smiles on our faces, and eyes ready to truly meet the eyes of another, and with our arms extended saying, welcome, welcome.